Chapter 12. The hearing wasn't anything like I thought it would be. Besides Derry and Soda and me, nobody was there except Randy and his parents and Cherry Valance and her parents and a couple of the other guys that had jumped Johnny and me that night. I don't know what I expected the whole thing to be like. I guess I've been watching too many Perry Mason shows. Oh, yeah, the doctor was there, and he had a long talk with the judge before the hearing. I didn't know what he had to do with it then, but I do now. First, Randy was questioned. He looked a little nervous, and I wished they'd let him have a cigarette. I wished they'd let me have a cigarette. I was more than a little shaky myself. Derry had told me to keep my mouth shut no matter what Randy and everybody said, that I'd get my turn. All the socias told the same story and stuck mainly to the truth, except they said Johnny had killed Bob. But I figured I could straighten that point out when I got my turn. Cherry told them what had happened before and after Johnny and I had been jumped. I think I saw a couple of tears slide down her cheeks, but I'm not sure. Her voice was sure steady, even if she was crying. The judge questioned everyone carefully, but nothing real emotional or exciting happened like it does on TV. He asked Derry and Soda a little bit about Dally, I think to check our background and find out what kind of guys we hung out with. Was he a real good buddy of ours? Derry said, yes, sir, looking straight at the judge, not flinching. But Soda looked at me like he was sentencing me to the electric chair before he gave the same answer. I was real proud of both of them. Dally had been one of our gang, and we wouldn't desert him. I thought the judge would never get around to questioning me. Man, I was scared almost stiff by the time he did. And you know what? They didn't ask me a thing about Bob's getting killed. All the judge did was ask me if I liked living with Derry, if I liked school, what kind of grades I made, and stuff like that. I couldn't figure it out then, but later I found out what the doctor had been talking to the judge about. I guess I looked as scared as I really was, because the judge grinned at me and told me to quit chewing my fingernails. That's a habit I have. Then he said I was acquitted and the whole case was closed. Just like that. Didn't even give me a chance to talk much. But that didn't bother me a lot. I didn't feel like talking anyway. I wish I could say that everything went back to normal, but it didn't. Especially me. I started running into things, like the door, and kept tripping over the coffee table and losing things. I always have been kind of absent-minded, but man, then I was lucky if I got home from school with the right notebook and with both shoes on. I walked all the way home once in my stocking feet and didn't even notice it until Steve made some bright remark about it. I guess I'd left my shoes in the locker room at school, but I never did find them. And another thing, I quit eating. I used to eat like a horse, but all of a sudden I wasn't hungry. Everything tasted like bologna. I was lousing up my schoolwork, too. I didn't do too badly in math because Derry checked over my homework in that and usually caught all my mistakes and made me do it again. But in English, I really washed out. I used to make A's in English, mostly because my teacher made us do compositions all the time. I mean, I know I don't talk good English. Have you ever seen a hood that did? But I can write it good when I try. At least I could before. Now I was lucky to get a D on a composition. It bothered my English teacher, the way I was goofing up, I mean. He's a real good guy who makes us think, and you can tell he's interested in you as a person, too. One day he told me to stay in after the rest of the class left. Ponyboy, I'd like to talk to you about your grades. Man, I wished I could beat it out of there. I knew I was flunking out in that class, but golly, I couldn't help it. There's not much to talk about, judging from your scores. Pony, I'll give it to you straight. You're failing this class right now. But taking into consideration the circumstances, if you come up with a good semester theme, I'll pass you with a C grade. Taking into consideration the circumstances? Brother, was that ever a way to tell me he knew I was goofing up because I'd been in a lot of trouble? At least that was a roundabout way of putting it. The first week of school after the hearing had been awful. people I knew wouldn't talk to me, and people I didn't know would come right up and ask about the whole mess. Sometimes even teachers. And my history teacher, she acted as if she was scared of me, even though I'd never caused any trouble in her class. You can bet that made me feel real tough. "Yes, sir," I said. "I'll try. What's the theme supposed to be on?" "Anything you think is important enough to write about. And it isn't a reference theme. I want you to write your own ideas and your own experiences." My first trip to the zoo. Oh, boy, oh, boy. "Yes, sir," I said, and got out of there as fast as I could. At lunch hour, I met Two-Bit and Steve out in the back parking lot, and we drove over to a little neighborhood grocery store to buy cigarettes and Cokes and candy bars. The store was the Grease Hangout, and that was about all we ever had for lunch. The Socs were causing a lot of trouble in the school cafeteria, throwing silverware and stuff, and everybody tried to blame it on us greasers. We all got a big laugh out of that. Greasers rarely even eat in the cafeteria. I was sitting on the fender of Steve's car, smoking and drinking a Pepsi while he and Two-Bit were inside talking to some girls, when a car drove up and three Socs got out. I just sat there and looked at them and took another swallow of the Pepsi. I wasn't scared. It was the oddest feeling in the world. I didn't feel anything. Scared, mad, or anything. Just zero.
"You're the guy that killed Bob Sheldon," one of them said. "And he was a friend of ours. We don't like nobody killing our friends, especially greasers."
Big deal. I busted the end off my bottle and held on to the neck and tossed away my cigarette. "You get back into your car or you'll get split." They looked kind of surprised, and one of them backed up. "I mean it." I hopped off the car. "I've had about all I can take from you guys." I started toward them, holding the bottle the way Tim Shepard holds a switch, out and away from myself, in a loose but firm hold. I guess they knew I meant business, because they got into their car.